And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about America versus socialism. America versus socialism. This is based in part on a comment by House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who has said that it is no longer just Republicans versus Democrats. It's America versus socialism. No longer America versus Democrats, it's America versus socialism. And of course, this is what many of us have been talking about for several years. It's just incredible how a movement that was operating in the underground for the longest time, I mean, during the McCarthy era, of course, back in the 1950s, there was a lot of talk about the Reds and the Red Dawn and Red Invasion and all this other kind of stuff, and what's going to happen if the communists try to invade the country. And of course, there were people who knew we had communists here. But through the end of the Cold War and Ronald Reagan and the fall of the Soviet Union, it seems pretty clear. I mean, I remember distinctly having a concern for Marxism as a threat, and then that threat seeming to disappear once you get through Ronald Reagan and the fall of the Soviet Union and the incredible failure of communism as a system to be able to sustain a country and a people. It just simply does not have the ability to do it. And of course, many people don't realize that the Soviet Union was propped up by the United States and Great Britain. And without the U.S. and Great Britain, the Soviet Union would not have been possible. In fact, many of these communist countries, China right now, I honestly believe that if America said, we're not going to support China, we're not buying all of this made in China garbage anymore, let them distribute to their own people, and we're going to buy American from now on. If we did things that way, I think it would enrich America, but it would hurt China. It would hurt their system. I don't think it would hurt us if we just said, okay, we're not going to import all this stuff from other countries. We're just going to buy from the American business owner. We're going to buy locally. We're going to buy nationally. We're not going to import all these foreign cars and all this other kind of stuff. We're not going to do that anymore. And I think America would survive and do well. I mean, international trade sounds like a good idea, and I guess a certain amount of it is not bad. I mean, I know our little ministry, we send out orders to other countries, and of course, we like the idea of doing business with other countries. The problem is with international Marxism and globalism, there is a very deliberate effort to try and take down the free world and to take down America. And they use economics as one of their weapons. Just look at what they did to the UK. I mean, they just really wrecked parts of the UK economy, made things very difficult for people there. You watch the documentary Brexit, they explain it. But let me read some of these comments here from House Majority Leader Representative Kevin McCarthy, who's a Republican out of California. He said, quote, "The debate today is different than the one we had before with Republicans versus Democrats on the size of what government can be." He said, "It's no longer Republicans versus the Democrats. It's America versus socialism. The movement in this Democratic Party toward clear socialism, that's what they're doing on healthcare, government run. It's all government telling you what to do and when to do it instead of unshackling and unleashing the great powers of liberty and freedom. Well, that should not be a big surprise for anybody who's been paying attention. Now, the good news is there's bad news and good news, I think. The good news is that this is now something that is being talked about in the mainstream, and your mainstream patriots understand it. You can go home and tell mom and dad, you can tell your family about this, and they'll listen to you because they're seeing it on TV continually. That's a very good thing. I remember when I first started doing a lot of this research 20 years ago, you try to talk to people about what was going on and what these globalists are doing behind the scenes, and you mention a phrase like the New World Order, and of course, everybody thinks you're wacko, thinks you're completely nuts. Today, not so much. Today, people are much more open to listening because they see what's happened. And especially after 8 years of having Barack Obama in the White House, where it became obvious to people after 8 years of Obama that our country was being manipulated, we were being lied to, that the Obama administration was imposing things on the country against the will of the American people and all this other kind of stuff. And you had Hollywood and leftist media, they were all in the tank. And anything that would be called objectivity from the people who before had been known as journalists, all whatever kind of objectivity they may have possibly had went completely out the window. It was gone. It's completely gone. I remember Brian Williams years ago, long before Obama, when he was a much younger journalist. And I remember watching an interview with him, and they were asking him about his political views. And he said, you know, he says, I've got friends who will ask me, he said, who I voted for in a certain election. And he says, you know, I never tell them. He says, I never tell my friends, I never tell anyone who I voted for in an election. He said, because as a journalist, it's so important that I maintain objectivity and a neutral worldview. Words to that effect. I'm paraphrasing him, obviously. But I'll never forget watching that interview. And this was back when, you know, journalists were seen for a time in our country. Back in the 1970s and 80s, journalists were almost like lawyers in a sense. That a lawyer, he's or a doctor, you know, a doctor takes an oath to do all that he can to save life. A lawyer takes an oath to do all that he or she can to defend their client, to do everything that's lawful to defend their client with objectivity. And journalists were kind of seen the same way. Now, of course, this is before the internet. And journalists were seen as, you know, if you're a true journalist, you are neutral. You are simply reporting what the news is. You're not there to tell people what to think about it, per se, simply to report the information so the American people can be informed. I mean, that used to be at least the expected standard of journalism. Now, today, they've completely thrown that out the window. There doesn't seem to be anybody who's doing that. Nobody is simply reporting facts and information. Everybody's involved in some kind of propaganda, one way or the other. So it's incredible how things have changed, at least from my perspective. Now, then you get into the education system. Here's an article from Front Page Mag, and they're reporting now on this is the reason why my wife and I got out of California when we had our first two children. And before they started school, we did not want them educated in the state of California, so we got out of there. But here's an article on Front Page Mag. It says, crude, anti-white, anti-male, anti-Christian communists indoctrinate California K-12 students. Then you got a leftist group called Just Communities. Just as in justice, right? And they're always talking about justice, but of course, their form of justice is injustice. And so they have a $250,000 contract with Santa Barbara educators to brainwash students. Now, they have a a bundle of documents that they've produced. And they use these documents, they use these tables and forms and things like this to indoctrinate the kids in the schools out in California. And we don't have time to go over all of them. But here is one of the documents that I want to read from. This shows a table. You can go online and look at the article. But it shows a table, and the headline, the title for the table is Forms of Oppression. Forms of oppression, okay? Notice how they frame the argument. Some people are being oppressed. And what is the oppression? Well, they have the form of oppression, then they have the privilege group, and then they have the target group. Obviously, the privilege group is the oppressor. The target group is the group that's being oppressed. So, for example, they have their first example, sexism. The form of oppression is sexism. The privileged group is men, and the target group is women. So women are being oppressed by men who are the privileged group here. Then you have the next form of oppression, which is racism. The privileged group is white people, and the target group is people of color. Then next they have heterosexism. The privileged group is heterosexual people. And then the target group is LGBTQ people, okay? And then it goes down from there. The last category, the last form of oppression is religious oppression. The privileged group is Christian people, and the target group is all others. All others are supposedly being oppressed by Christians in America. Now, what's incredible about this brainwashing is that even secular groups and universities and so on have done studies, objective studies, where when they study people in the world, groups in the world that are being oppressed and persecuted, like real persecution, the number one group anywhere in the world over and over and over again from studies that have been done for the last 20, 30 years, the most persecuted people anywhere in the world, hands down, are Christian people, without any question. There is no other group of people who are routinely targeted and killed. None of these other groups that are claiming that they somehow or other are being oppressed and people are chasing after them and all this other kind of stuff, none of them have their members lined up out on a beach somewhere with a bunch of Muslim guys in hoods and knives lining them all up and then cutting all of their heads off on camera and bragging and boasting about it to the rest of the world just because of who they are and what they believe. That happens to Christians. And it happens to Christians continually. In fact, there is an article on the Geller Report by Hugh Fitzgerald. Hugh Fitzgerald has two articles called Beyond Boko Haram, Nigeria's Other Genocide. And here's what he says at one point. He says, quote, "While all eyes seem to be elsewhere, on North Korea, on Iran, and the attack at Avaaz on the UK, floundering over how to settle its Brexit affairs, and the US floundering over a Supreme Court nomination, in Nigeria, there is an ongoing jihad against Christians. It is not that of Boko Haram. This genocide, the deliberate killing of men, women, and children because they are Christian, and the destruction of their dwellings, the stealing of their cattle, has accounted for many thousands of victims, with hundreds in the last 2 months." All right, brethren, let's go ahead and go to our commercial break, and we are going to talk more about these issues when we come back right after this.
Presents A Lamp in the Dark, the untold history of the Bible. Enter into a world of saints and martyrs. martyrs battling spies, assassins, and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family, because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madryn Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. Figure out how many are in your family. Figure out how many days you want to have food ready to be put into boiling hot water and have a good meal, and make your order. Now, again, you can order it from someone else, but if you order it from Worldview Weekend, we're not going to charge any shipping and handling. Free shipping and handling. Secondly, it's another way for us to generate revenue to underwrite the expenses of running Worldview Weekend, our radio and television ministry, and our free conference ministry. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. Before we went to the break, we were talking about the Christians who are being persecuted in Nigeria by Muslims. Now, remember, brethren, part of the reason this is happening, and I think it's the chief reason this is happening, is because the country, Nigeria, had been governed by a Christian president named Goodluck Jonathan, who undoubtedly would have helped to protect the Christian population from these Islamic uprisings and random attacks and this kind of thing. But then when Barack Obama was in the White House, Barack Obama used his influence to help put a Muslim in charge of Nigeria instead of the Christian president. In fact, Obama did this over and over again in a whole variety of different countries. He used his influence to promote Islamic leaders, quite often against Christians, to have Muslims in power instead of Christians. And Nigeria is one of those countries. And right now, whenever you're seeing these attacks on Christians, the Muslims, of course, feel emboldened because the guy they put in charge is some radical, some Muslim extremist who promotes Sharia law and this kind of thing. And obviously, he is not. He's just like all these other Muslim leaders who are in charge of countries that have a relationship with the United States and historically Christian countries where they're getting financial aid and support and all this other kind of stuff. What they do is they say, well, of course, we support religious freedom. That's what they say. But then they don't do that. Then what happens is their populations, their Muslim population, will go around victimizing the Christians, burning their churches down, kidnapping and raping their women and children, this kind of thing. And the government simply does not do anything about it. They let it happen. And so I believe that has everything to do with what's going on. In fact, there's an article on the Daily Post from last year Here's the headline. It says how Obama helped Buhari. Buhari is the Nigerian president, the Muslim guy. How Obama helped Buhari defeat me in 2015 election, Jonathan. Meaning that's a quote from Goodluck Jonathan. And it says former president Goodluck Jonathan has claimed that he lost the 2015 presidential elections because of a conspiracy between the USA, Britain, and France. In a new book, the title of which is Against the Run of Play, authored by the chairman of This Day editorial board, Goodluck Jonathan said former U.S. President Barack Obama, ex-British Prime Minister David Cameron, and French President Hollande helped President Buhari win the election. And if you read the whole article, they really lay most of the blame on Obama. They say it was really the Obama administration that was even pressuring both England and France against Goodluck Jonathan, the Christian, to get this Muslim guy in power, Buhari. All right, here's another article. This is from the Canada Free Press. Now, some of you will remember that the reason Justin Trudeau, who is a socialist, and he's really like the white Canadian Obama, because he is a socialist. He's very pro-Islam. You can go online, find photos of him kneeling in a mosque, wearing Islamic-looking clothing, even though he's supposedly not actually a Muslim. But he's very, very friendly and supportive toward the Muslims and bringing them into Canada and all this other kind of stuff and promoting all of these left-wing programs. And it is said that the Obama administration was directly involved. In fact, I was in Canada last year talking to some of the people there and talking to people on the plane who are Canadians. And their position was, oh, yeah, you're Obama. Yeah. You know, we pretty much took it for granted that he was responsible for Trudeau. Yeah. And so they kind of take that for granted there. That's what happened. So the Obama administration was very actively involved with making sure that socialists and Muslims were in power in a whole variety of countries. So here they've got an article on the Canada Free Press, and this is from 2015. It says Obama, and this was during the Obama administration, and it says Obama installing Islam leaders while Michelle and Susan Rice provide cover, question mark. And then the article says, quote, the full-scale social engineering of President Barack Hussein Obama in the elections of countries where he has no business being seeks to install radical Islamists to power. Goes on and says, even though it's a provable deadly blueprint that's putting the West at great risk, no one is calling him on it. Obama's been on the trail of replacing Christian leaders with Islamic ones before he became president, starting with Kenya, where he actively campaigned to elect Islamic defender Raila Odinga in 2007. All right, and then it goes on to talk about that. It says millions revolted in Egypt when Obama's so-called Arab Spring led to the election of Muslim Brotherhood big gun Mohamed Morsi and the subsequent election of Abdel Fattah el-Sisi has been the largest setback. Why? Because al-Sisi is said to be more moderate. He is a Muslim, but he is more moderate. He's not the radical that his opposition is. And then it goes on to talk about how, so that was a failed attempt by the Obama administration. They also had a failed attempt with Israel when they tried to block the re-election of Prime Minister Netanyahu. That didn't work. But then the article goes on, it says, quote, no one paid Obama and his Marxist minions any attention when they backed Hassan Katara against Christian challenger Laurent Gbagbo in the Ivory Coast election back in 2011. Obama congratulated Katara on his election victory, even though his troops slaughtered 1,000 Christians in a post-election bloodbath. Okay? Then the article goes on to talk about Obama's interference in Nigeria. And actually, this article was written right before the election in Nigeria took place. But it makes it very clear, Canada Free Press makes it very clear that Barack Obama was supporting the interests of Muslims ahead of Christianity, ahead of Christian leaders. And of course, he can't be completely ignorant of the fact that Christians are relentlessly persecuted by Muslims. They're kidnapped, they're raped, they're murdered, they're beheaded, everything else. It is, you can almost guarantee that if you've got a country like Nigeria, where about half the population is Christian and the other half is Muslim, if you put a Muslim leader in charge of that country, the Muslim side of the country will be emboldened to go out and victimize the Christians repeatedly. That is what happens. But you don't have it the other way around. Christians don't go around burning all the mosques to the ground. You don't have stories about Christians slaughtering thousands of Muslims who were just sitting there minding their own business. You don't have these kind of stories. If Christians were doing that, those stories would be all over the place in mainstream media. You'd have people talking about it all day. But it doesn't happen, because that's simply not the general character of Christianity toward the other groups of people in the world. Generally speaking, that's not how Christians treat people of other beliefs. But we should be in prayer for the believers in Nigeria and pray for persecuted Christians around the world. This is what the Lord told us would happen, brethren. We have to remember, Jesus said, "You will be hated by all men for my name's sake." And we're warned of persecution. "In the world ye shall have tribulation," the Lord said. "But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Praise the Lord. All right, brethren, we are out of time. That's going to do it for us today. That's our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.